Praise the Lord. We need to see the need to move up closer, and then we need to move up. Praise the Lord. Turn, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. And we will read verses 33 and 34. Luke chapter 4, verses 33 and 34. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 4 and verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Now, I want to draw your attention to the very first thing these unclean spirits cried out: "Let us alone." Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, today for this beautiful day that we have, the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for your word that's been made available to us to direct our steps to heaven. I pray that you would move by your Spirit right here today. That you'd anoint in the preaching of your word. Speak to our hearts. Move right here, Lord, in the lives of some that really need to feel the stirring and the moving of your Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oftentimes in the Gospels, when Jesus went into a synagogue or into a city or into a home, a lot of the places where he went, he stirred up evil spirits. And here this day, he went into the synagogue, and the Bible said there was a man there possessed of unclean and evil spirits. And when these evil spirits sensed the presence of God, Jesus hadn't said anything, hadn't said a word, hadn't made any move. He just walked in, and as soon as they sensed the presence of God, the first thing they said was, "Let us alone." Isn't that odd? Let us alone. Amen. And that's what I want to preach to you about today. I want to tell you, first of all, that's a cry of many people in the world. By their attitude, by their manner, by their deeds, and even sometimes by their voice, they are saying, "Let us alone." Amen. When you try to tell them that all are sinners and that everybody has to be saved in order to have eternal life, that there must be confession of sin and repentance from sin, and there must be a believing on Jesus Christ and an accepting Him as a Savior and Lord, oftentimes they say, "Leave me alone. Let me alone." When they're told that they have to live a holy life and be cleansed from sin, you know, when they find out that this matter of salvation and going to heaven is not just a little something you do, you add it to your life and then go on living however you want to live, but when they find out that it's a cleansing from sin, and there must be a refraining from sin, and there must be a putting off of that old man, that old nature that is corrupt through lust, the Bible said, and a putting on of a new man, a new nature that is renewed in righteousness and holiness, a lot of them say, "Let us alone. Leave me alone. I don't want to hear that." They want an unrestrained and an unrestricted life. When they're told about the coming judgment, the coming of the Lord to catch away all believers from the earth, and then after that time, the wrath of God being poured out on an unbelieving world and the rule of an Antichrist and the battle of Armageddon and the great white throne judgment where every person who's died lost will be judged and everyone whose name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire, they say, "Let us alone. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to talk about that. We don't believe that. Leave me alone." They're like Felix, who, when he heard the truth, he trembled under conviction, but he said, "Go thy way." In other words, leave me alone right now. I don't want to hear this. Leave me alone. Go away. Go away. If I want to hear it, I'll call for you to come tell me. Just go away. But you know, we can't afford to let people who are lost alone. Jesus didn't say to these demons, okay, if you don't want to be bothered, I'll just go away. He didn't do that. He jumped right in the middle of it and did what he had to do. Amen. You know, people that are lost that you know, and I'm going to tell you, if you're here today and you're lost, we can't leave you alone. Amen. We can't just leave you alone. You shouldn't get mad when people try to help you and deal with you either. And if you're dealing with people that are lost, obviously you ought to use some wisdom and some tact. Don't be rude or crude, you know, but you can't just leave them alone. Amen. The reason, you know you can't just leave them alone, it's a serious matter. If you're happening by a lake and someone has fallen in and they're drowning, you know, and they're saying, just leave me alone, leave me alone. You can't just leave them alone. You got to try at least in some way you can to rescue them. If you're passing down the road and there's a burning building and someone's up in the window, you come running out and they say, just leave me alone, leave me alone. You're not going to just walk away and leave them alone, are you? No, you're going to do what you can do to try to rescue them from a burning building. And so those that are lost are rushing headlong into an eternal hell. And even though they may say with their mouth or say with their actions, I wish you would just leave me alone. You can't just leave them alone. Amen. If you do just leave them alone, their blood is going to be on your hands. Amen. If you're lost here today, the last thing in the world you ought to be saying is, leave me alone. You need God. You need salvation. Amen. You need to repent of your sin and be washed in the blood. Otherwise, your life is doomed for hell. Amen. You ought to be glad for every time the preacher preaches to you. Every time someone says to you, wouldn't you like to go pray? Every time you feel the Holy Ghost, don't say, leave me alone. This is a cry of many in the church, too. You say, what? Come on. Not in the church. Yeah, even right in the church. In Matthew 8, Jesus delivered a demoniac from a horrible bondage of demons, and he was sitting clothed in his right mind. And the Bible said the whole city came and begged him to leave. That's right. They said, please, leave us alone. In Mark chapter 6, on the Sabbath day, in the synagogue, Jesus spoke. The people, the Bible said, were astonished and said, what wisdom! They were amazed at his mighty words. And they were astonished at what he had to say. And then someone said, is this not the carpenter's son? The son of Mary? The brother of James and Joseph, Judas and Simon? And the Bible said they were offended at him. In other words, after they knew who he was, they wouldn't accept what he said. They said, please, just leave us alone. In Luke chapter 4, earlier, Jesus in the synagogue read from Isaiah 61 and pressed upon the people there the need to believe on him as their Messiah and their Christ. And the Bible said they were filled with wrath and they rose up and thrust him out of the city. He was in the house of God, reading the Word of God, and they said, let us alone. In John 1:11, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. Why? They were complacent in their own religion and satisfied with their own situation and content in their own condition, and they did not want to be bothered. Amen. They were satisfied with what they were doing and how they believed, and they didn't want anybody to rock the boat. So they said, leave us alone. There are a lot of people today that even sit in churches that have become complacent and lukewarm. Amen. They've not been tempted by the devil to some willful sin, some blatant rebellion, you know, some visible, horrible disgrace. But they've been tricked by the devil into the suggestion just to take it easy. How many times the devil says in your ear, you're all right. You're all right. You don't need to listen to what the teacher says. You don't need to listen to what the preacher's saying. You don't need to be bothered about what mom and dad are saying. You're all right. They're just bugging you, but you're all right. You don't need to be a fanatic. You don't need to go overboard. Come on, you're a Christian. I mean, after all, your dad is a Christian, or your mom is a Christian, or your grandma, or your grandpa. You've prayed. Come on, you've prayed. What's the big deal? You know, you go to church some. As a matter of fact, You still dress pretty old-fashioned compared to everybody else in the world and out of style. Surely that ought to be enough. But there are a lot of people who have been tricked by the devil, and they have become complacent, and they have gone to sleep spiritually. Amen. They have gone to sleep spiritually. Their spiritual life is on snooze. They're snoozing away. There is no life and no vitality and no fire involved in it. They are simply sleeping on the pew. When you become complacent spiritually, you find often that you're just too tired to go to church. You've had a hard day. You've exerted a lot. You're just too tired. You know you ought to pray, but you're too tired to pray. That's a reason, isn't it? You're too tired. Too tired to study the Bible. Another thing you find when you're complacent is you're too busy to go to church. There's a million other things to do. You know, you got this to do, you got that to do, you've already done this, you've already done that, you still got that, you still got this, you got so much to do, and something's got to be bumped, so church gets bumped. Prayer gets bumped. Time in the Bible gets bumped. Now you're complacent. Amen. You're complacent when you're more concerned about yourself than you are about anyone or anything else, including the Lord. When you want your own way, and you really don't care what anybody says, you are going to do what you are going to do. It's because you become complacent, lukewarm in your spiritual life. Amen. When you're content with your mediocre spiritual condition and you're satisfied with your low level of commitment, you are in a dangerous place. Amen. But I tell you what, people sit on the pews time after time after time, knowing deep in their heart that they're not where they ought to be with God. They know they are not serving God like they ought to serve God. They know they are not praying like they ought to pray. They know they're not obeying God like they ought to obey. They are not where they ought to be with God. And they say, let us alone. Leave me alone. Those that are complacent, amen, they often become desensitized to and unaware of their own pitiful condition. And they say, hey, I'm all right. Leave me alone. Why are you always bugging me and bothering me? I'm all right. Leave me alone. Those that are complacent often do not like to be stirred or awakened. Amen. When Autumn's alarm goes off, she pops out of bed like a jack-in-the-box. But to get Adrienne out of bed and ready for school is worse than pulling teeth. She'll mumble and moan and groan and roll over and cover her head, pull the covers off. She'll pull them back up. Leave me alone. There are a lot of times people are asleep spiritually. They don't like somebody trying to wake them up. It bothers them. It irritates them. And they want to be left alone. Just leave me alone. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. We're happy the way we are. Just knock it off. I'm doing all right. Why can't you just leave me alone? I'm satisfied with the way things are. Why aren't you? Just leave me alone. You know, I thought of Israel when they came out of Egypt's bondage and they came up to the Red Sea. And the mountains were on the sides, and Pharaoh, they found out, was coming from behind. And now here's Moses trying to tell them to go forward, and their God's going to move the Red Sea out of their way. And they say to him, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. In other words, stop trying to take us out of here. Just leave us alone and let us go back to Egypt and serve Pharaoh. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, God will not just leave you alone, I hope. Amen. The most pitiful condition your life will ever get in is if God decides to leave you alone. Amen. If God decides to say, fine, you don't want to hear from me, I'll just quit talking. That's a horrible place. Amen. But God doesn't want to leave you alone. Amen. And I have no intention of leaving you alone. Amen. God knows that you need to be stirred in your life. Amen. Because the lukewarm, God said, will be spewed out of his mouth. God does not tolerate complacency and lukewarmness in spiritual life. There does come a time when your lukewarmness becomes lostness. You're no longer just a lukewarm Christian, but you're lost and on your way to hell. Amen. God plainly stated that the lukewarm soul will be spewed out of his mouth. And if you're spewed out of God's mouth, you're lost. Amen. To be lost is a serious matter. Not only here on the earth, it's a bad thing. It's a serious thing to be lost living on the earth because your life is open to every attack of the enemy. You're vulnerable to all those evil forces that are everywhere in the world. They're trying to wreck your life. They're trying to take your purity. They're trying to ruin your marriage, trying to destroy your hope, trying to take your mind. All these evil forces are all around. And when you're out from under the protection of God's power, you're vulnerable and open to all those attacks of the enemy. It's a terrible thing to be lost right now, but it's even worse to be lost in eternity. Because every lost person will spend eternity in hell, and hell is a very solemn matter. Amen. The Bible does not describe hell as a place where every sinner that's ever lived comes into a big party, where they're all drinking and smoking and doing drugs and listening to rock and roll and looking at pornography. Hell is not a big sin party. No, it's not. Hell is a place of torment, physically, mentally, emotionally. Torment from the start all the way through eternity. It's a godless place, a vile place. It's a place with no relief and no escape. There is no getting out. Once you get in there, eternal place of horror. I'm going to tell you what. You better wake up and realize how bad eternity without God is and understand you can't just be left alone. You need to be stirred up. You need to be awakened from your condition. You need to make your commitment to God sure and stop playing around with your soul. Amen. You need to understand that what happens to you now is going to make a big difference down the road in eternity. You're going to wish forever that you'd surrendered your life to God. There was a man named Sir John Franklin who led an Arctic expedition. They found themselves in temperatures at 70 below zero. Can you imagine? 70 below zero. Trudging through snow and ice and over icebergs. He wrote that many of his men began to be overcome by the cold. But what's interesting is, when they were being overcome by the cold, they began to feel warm and sleepy. He said they were talking out of their head about being by the fireplace, the logs crackling in fire, having a bear rug or a blanket. They began to lay down in the snow and curl up like they were in front of the fireplace to go to sleep. And he realized that if these men went to sleep out here in this freezing, terribly freezing, well, they would die. So while these men were laying down and trying to get comfortable and feeling warm and having visions of a fireplace and chestnuts roasting on the open fire, he began rousing them up and stirring them up. And he said they'd shove him off. They'd push him away. They'd say, "Leave me alone. I'm just tired. I want to rest. I'm feeling warm and I want to rest. I'm tired." And it got where he couldn't rouse them up. He actually took his fist and started beating them in the face. He punched them in the face until they got up out of the snow. And he said that many of them, most of them, when it was all said and done, their faces were bruised and broken. But he kept them awake and he kept them moving by punching them until they finally got back to their outpost cabin and they were spared. Even though some of them were really suffering from hypothermia, they still were all alive. He kept them alive. I'm going to tell you what. You may be overcome with the cold and you're drifting off to sleep. You're feeling warm and relaxed and sleepy. Amen. And God is wanting to wake you up. I'll tell you what I pray. You can like it or you can lump it, but I tell you what I pray. I pray, God, do whatever you have to do to wake them up. Oh, preacher, you better be careful about praying. Now, I'm not careful about praying that. I tell you what, I pray for my own kids too, not just yours. Because nothing that happens in this life is worse than them dying lost and going to hell. I say, God, do whatever you got to do. Shake them up. Get their attention. Bring whatever you have to bring into their life. Punch them. Beat them, so to speak. Leave bruises on them if you have to. But God, it's better for you to suffer in this life and your soul to be saved than for you to go on complacent and sleeping and die lost and go to hell. It's better for you to be battered and bruised by life circumstances and your soul be rescued from sin than for you to go merrily on your way and be lost without God. Instead of saying, "Let us alone. Leave me alone." You ought to be saying, "Oh, God, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Come down. Hallelujah. That the mountains would flow down at your presence. Hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Amen. Sometimes you think the worst thing in the world is having to come to church and hear the preacher preach. He's smacking you around and beating you up, and you don't like it. Well, there's something a whole lot worse than that. That's for you to go on your merry way and die lost and wake up in hell and can't get out and wish you could be back in this place and sit in this pew and have Brother Gallagher or Brother Mark or somebody preach and just light the fire under you and stir you up and make you feel bad. If every time you leave this church you go out of here feeling good, I'm not doing my job. If every time you leave you feel bad, I'm not doing it either. It's got to go both ways. But there's got to be times when God gets a hold of you and you feel guilty because you are. Amen. There's got to be times when you feel your lack of spiritual life and you know you got nobody to blame but yourself, and it's time you stop making excuses and step out and be a man or a woman for God and do what you've got to do and make your commitment and press through your lukewarmness. Amen. Don't be crying. Let us alone. A very dangerous thing to do. Hallelujah. Let's stand today. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you're lost here today, you need to come out of your seat right now. Make your way down this aisle to this altar and turn your life over to God. If you're lost and you don't feel guilty, you should. And ought to scare you that you don't. When you can know you're not right with God and yet feel no guilt about it and no conviction about it, you're well on your way to becoming totally insensitive to the Spirit of God. But if you feel the slightest twinge of conscience right here today, my Lord, if you feel the slightest twinge of conviction right here today, if there's a chance that you're not right with God, you ought to come out of your seat and down this altar as fast as you can get here. Make things right with God. If you're here today and you're lukewarm in your soul and you know it, you know that you are not as close to God today as you have been in the past. If that's your case, friend, you're backsliding and you need to wake up and take steps to get where you ought to be with God. The altar's open. You need to come. Are you going to go out of here today saying, "Leave me alone. For goodness sake, leave me alone"? You better hope God doesn't leave you alone. I'm praying that He won't leave you alone. And He's going to get your attention sooner or later. Instead of you making it harder on yourself, you ought to surrender to God. Let Him have His way in your life. How about it? Will you come? Hallelujah. I feel the Lord here today. But you have to respond. I preach to you. God speaks, but you have to make a choice. And you need to respond right here today. How about it? Are you where you ought to be with God? Are you too embarrassed to come to admit you're not where you ought to be with God? I'm not saying you're backslidden and you're lost and on your way to hell. That may be the case. If so, you definitely need to pray. But if you're here today and you know you're not where you ought to be with God, your experience is not what it ought to be. You ought to be stepping out of your seat right now and making your way down to this altar. Don't snuggle back down in those covers of complacency. Don't push me away. Don't push God's Spirit away and just roll back over spiritually and go right back to sleep. It's time you made a move in your life for God. How about it? Will you come? It's time you made a move in your life for God. There's some that have come. There are others that ought to be coming right here today. How long are you going to be content in the condition that you're in when you know it's not where you ought to be with God? You need to stir yourself, shake yourself while there's still time. Make your commitment and dedication to God. Hallelujah. How about it? Anybody else? I appreciate these that have come. I really do appreciate these that are coming. Oh, I want you to come. Let God work in your heart today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, you better listen to me. I'm telling you. A lukewarm spiritual condition is going to show up in other areas of your life. You better take steps right now to make things right with God. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else? You going to come before we all come? Anybody else come pray? Hallelujah. I appreciate these that are coming. I really do. Hallelujah. Oh, would you lift your hands? Say, oh, Holy Ghost, would you have your way right here today? Hallelujah. Have your way, Lord, right here today. Oh, God, do a work in these lives today. Stir them and awaken them. Hallelujah. Oh, rekindle a fire within them, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's come and pray with these that have come, would you? All of you out there that are Christians, come on. Pray with these that have come around the altar. It's not just my job to pray with people. It's all of our job. Would you come and pray with them? Come on. Find someone to pray with. Right here today. Hallelujah.
Do you know Him today? Please don't turn Him away. Oh, Jesus. My Jesus. Without Him, how long?